Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids. We'll be right back. right there, some classic Iron Maiden, To Tame a Land. I once had a conversation about that song with Mike Portnoy when I jammed with Mike Portnoy. We jammed a Motorhead song. You can take a look online. Maybe I'll post it in today's show notes. The band was called Turtlehead, and it lasted a number of hours one afternoon. It was me on guitar, my friend John Ostrowski, a.k.a. Astronomy, the guy I founded this podcast with. He was on the other guitar. Frankie Bello on bass, Mike Portnoy on drums, and Bobby Blitz on vocals. And we performed a Motorhead song called Overkill. We did the song three times. Fuse TV aired one of those times. And it's up online. Anyways, Bumblefoot recorded and engineered that song. And I was wondering if that is where Mike Portnoy met Bumblefoot, or if he knew Bumblefoot before then. That would have been back in, I want to say, it was either very late 2007 or 2008. I feel like it was actually 2008 that we recorded that song. Yeah, so I wonder if that's where they met, or if they knew each other before then. And anyways, Bumblefoot and Mike Portnoy have a great new record out called Sons of Apollo. It also features today's guest, Derek Sherinian. It's rare that we have a keyboardist on Talking Metal, and it was a pleasure talking with him, so stay tuned for that interview shortly. The album by Sons of Apollo is something I'm really enjoying. It's called Psychotic Symphony. And yeah, there you go. So let's do this. Let's hit a song, and then we'll come back and we will get into my interview with Derek Sherinian. This song right here is Heaven and Hell by Black Sabbath.
Bill Ward, Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, and Ronnie James Dio on that one. Some classic Black Sabbath here on Talking Metal. Without further ado, let's get into some great, great music. Let's hit a song going into the interview here, and then we will play some of another song coming out. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I want you to go buy the whole tracks for these on iTunes or Amazon or wherever you buy your music. This song is called Coming Home by Sons of Apollo, followed by my interview with Derek Sherinian. Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and calling in on the line, we have Derek Sherinian of Sons of Apollo. Derek, so great to talk to you.
Hi, Mark. How you doing, man? Great to talk to you as well.
I'm doing wonderful, and I got to tell you, the new record, Psychotic Symphony, the debut record from Sons of Apollo, it sounds just great. The songs are amazing, and I want to talk to you about the songs. I want to talk to you about who's in this band, but just right off the top, I always get nervous about bands like this because there's been so many great supergroups like KXM, for example. And what happens with these bands a lot of times, I feel like they put out a good record, but then they don't really get behind it because there's so many great musicians in the band that they need to go off and make money elsewhere. And so just right out of the gate here, I wanted to ask you, is there a commitment from all you great players who've put out this great record to get out there and really stand behind the record and tour the album?
This is absolutely a band and not a project. Everyone in Sons of Apollo has cleared their calendars for 2018, and we all believe that this record is great, and we're feeling that how it's resonating across the world, and a lot of promoters are clamoring to have Sons of Apollo play.
Cool.
And so that means that there's demand, so we're going to go out and play. And the bottom line is that if the people want it, we're going to do it. We all also believe that Sons of Apollo has the biggest chance of generating the most heat out of any of the other things that we're involved with. This is something we're building from the ground floor. We have an awesome, unique sound. There's a huge void in rock music today. And I think with Sons of Apollo, the way that we fuse classic rock, hard rock, and progressive rock, in our mixture of it, it's the perfect blend where we're going to access a lot of different genres. So we're very excited that this band is going to, we're very excited about our future.
Cool. Well, that's great to hear. And I cannot wait to see you guys live because, again, the record sounds just fantastic. And we're going to get into that. But let's talk about who's in this band, not a project, band, as you said. It started, mm-hmm. It seems like from what I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, but was this kind of something that started with you and Mike Portnoy, an idea? You guys started talking and then the other members kind of fell into place after that?
Well, Mike and I reunited in 2012 for the PSMS tour with Tony McAlpine and Billy Sheehan. And it was just obvious playing with Mike again. We've always had a chemistry and we just had a lot of fun playing those dates. And it was just, to me, the obvious move was to, hey, let's do this for real, man. Let's get a singer. Let's write some killer tunes and let's fucking take over the world. And so, you know, sometimes timing doesn't work out. He was involved in other things. I was still working with Black Country Communion. And so here we are in 2017, the planets were aligned and we already have our record out and it's happening, man. And I think that the fans of Mike and myself, they want to hear us play this kind of shit. They don't want to hear us play classic, just straight, you know, hippie rock or,
right,
or whatever. They want to hear us play this progressive metal or fusion of it, whatever you want to label it.
Absolutely.
And so we're all in, man. We're all in to win.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Yeah. So let's talk about the different members. Now, Jeff Scott Soto on vocals, who for this style of music, for, like you said, it's a mix. There's prog rock elements. There's, you know, classic rock elements. There's heavy metal elements. But for, I guess, a progressive metal band, Jeff's voice, to me, is very unique and brings something refreshing and different to the table. Did you target him because of his the way he sings, and was there a conscious effort to maybe avoid some of the stereotypical sounds you get out of vocalists in progressive metal?
Like, what would be the stereotypes that you're referring to?
Well, I guess I was thinking of like James from Dream Theater or Jeff Tate from Queensryche, you know, that type of style.
Absolutely. That was exactly the singer we did not want.
Right.
We wanted more of a rock and roll bass, a listenable voice that will reach a lot of people, not just a certain group. And the bands that I loved growing up were, you know, all had singers like Steven Tyler, Robert Plant, Freddie Mercury, David Lee Roth, and it's all just very rock and blues based. So we definitely wanted to keep that as the anchor, juxtaposized over, is that the right word? Juxtaposized, is that correct?
I don't know, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, but the way, and all that's what it all is, fusion is juxtaposizing different flavors on top of flavors, layers, and choice of sounds and choice of genres mixed in the stew. And as producers, that was Mike's and my role to mix that stew up. And I think that, you know, we did an amazing job. It's a perfect blend. People from both sides of the fence are loving this thing. There's a classic rock, hard rock soul to our sound, which really differentiates us from all the other bands in just the straight prog rock genre, and also from the other bands in the straight rock genre. Because, frankly, most bands that play the straight rock, they all have swagger, and it's great and fun and everything, but they lack chops. And on the other side, the prog musicians lack swagger, but they have all the technical virtuosity. So I think that Sons of Apollo were the perfect hybrid, the perfect mix of the two.
Right on. Now, Billy Sheehan on bass, just some amazing playing from Billy on this record, Psychotic Symphony by Sons of Apollo. You mentioned this tour with Tony McAlpine that you and Mike did, and Billy was involved in that too. Were you talking with him at that point about doing this, or did conversations with
not
him?
Not yet,
no,
but okay. We didn't talk to him about it yet, but we knew that if we were going to pull the trigger on it, that Billy would be our first and only choice, because he just is, he's great. His sound, he's, you know, he is who he is for a reason, and he just sounds amazing with us, and I love the way his bass records, and live, it's just fierce.
Absolutely. And of course, Ron Thal, Bumblefoot, who we know from Guns N' Roses, and I know from being a guy in New Jersey, from going way, way back to him playing the clubs, and his many, many CDs and albums that he's put out through the years. This is definitely something very different for Ron musically. How did he fall into the fold, and was there any question about where he's coming from musically? Because again, I've never heard him do music like this before.
Well, I mean, I've known of Ron through, you know, obviously playing with Guns N' Roses. That's a very high-profile gig. I had never played with him. Mike had played with him in the past, and Mike was the one who suggested Ron for Sons of Apollo. And so my first reaction was, is he going to be able to keep up with this stuff? And Mike goes, don't you worry, he's going to be just fine. And the first day I met Ron was in the studio, the first day of recording and writing. And I felt like as soon as he started playing, I felt like I met a long lost brother that I hadn't seen in 50 years. And we just started writing and recording and bonding right there. And it was an awesome experience. And the first 4 or 5 days was Ron, Mike Portnoy, and myself. And then Billy joined us a couple days later.
Wow.
But we wrote and the whole structure of Psychotic Symphony pretty much in 10 days. I mean, we had some starting points, some ideas. I had written the song God of the Sun. That's my one sole composition. And Feed Those Four, if you really want to call that a composition. That's more of an interlude to Divine Addiction. But yeah, the rest of it, we really just took care of business, and it was a great, great experience.
Awesome. Cool. And you mentioned Gods of the Sun, which is just this amazing, like, 11-minute spiritual journey that opens up the record. Such good stuff there. At the very top of that, it sounds like almost like sitar. Is that what that instrument is, and who's playing that?
That is a sitar, and it's played by a gentleman named Ashwin Batish, A-S-H-W-I-N, and then last name B-A-T-I-S-H. And he is from my hometown of Santa Cruz, California.
Wow.
And I remember as a kid reading about him with his sitar, and I think his family has an Indian restaurant up there as well. And so I've always been aware of him. And a couple of years ago, he asked me to play on a recording of his, which I did. And so on this record, I really wanted to have a sitar on the front. And he was obviously the only sitar player I know.
Right.
And and he owed me a favor. So I called him up, and man, he sure sounds great. It opens up the whole record, and I really love it. You can't sample something like that or get that on a synth. That's the real dealio.
Yeah, I love in that song, by the way, when you get to like around the 7 minute mark and that like heavy riff comes in and then it kind of leads into Bumblefoot's solo. So good. And such like a kind of departure.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So you wrote that all on your own?
That's all. Yeah, it's 100% DM.
Wow.
I love it. And I just started working on it like piece by piece. I have like all the demo tapes in, and I just started building it, and it ended up a trilogy. And what's interesting is like some people, like I've heard some people go, oh, it sounds like someone called it goulashy, meaning that the three parts of the transition, they sound like three different songs. Well, no shit. It's a fucking trilogy.
Right.
It's a departure and they all connect, but then it comes back home to the reprise. And, I think God of the Sun is just a masterpiece.
No, it is.
It's my best work to date, and I'm very proud of it. And I think Jeff Scott Soto sings great on it, and he was very helpful with the lyrics. And I can't say enough about that song. The whole record I love, but God of the Sun is a little special with me.
Wow. Yeah, it's a great, great tune. Obviously, you and Mike have a history with Dream Theater. Would you guys consider playing Dream Theater songs in the set when you go out and tour in 2018?
Well, we haven't decided on what we're doing yet as far as extra songs, but I'm sure that Mike and I would definitely consider playing stuff that we co-wrote. You know, back then we have every right to play those songs as well. So I could see that.
Right. And when you guys did the, I think it was the David Z benefit, you really did some great versions of some classic rock and hard rock and heavy metal songs at that benefit. It would be great to hear some of those in the set list too, because I watched the YouTube videos for those and they're awesome.
Yeah. You know, you never know. Pike's in charge of the set list. And so when it comes time to put it all together, we'll see what he comes up with, but I'm sure it's going to be great.
Cool. And again, we are talking with Derek from Sons of Apollo. The album is Psychotic Symphony. It's out now, guys. We'll have links for it up in today's show notes. And Derek, before I let you go, I do, of course, have to ask you about Black Country Communion, a new record by you guys, the fourth record, just another one that's just a great, great sounding record. I'm really loving it.
Thank you.
Can you believe that there's a fourth record from Black Country Communion? I mean, there was a time where it seemed like it was basically done. Were you surprised to hear that you guys were getting back together?
I've been doing this almost 30 years and nothing surprises me, but I was very pleased when the email started circulating that this was going to happen and that we were going to be doing a couple shows in January, only two. But still, I love all those guys. I love Kevin Shirley. And even though it can be kind of chaotic, we fight like brothers, but we always will come back. And there's a bond between all of the people involved in BCC. So I'm glad that everyone is playing nice. And I think that the record sounds great.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that you can finally hear me for once.
Yeah, you sound great on it. It's some really, really solid stuff, great hard rock, and Glenn Hughes' voice, it just blows me away that guy's in his 60s, and he sounds, even in concert, I saw him last year at B.B. King's Blues Club in New York, awesome pipes on that guy.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
Well, Derek, it's been great talking
really
with you. It's been great,
talking with you, Mark, and I appreciate your time. SonsOfApollo.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Tour updates, and we'll be announcing tour dates very soon.
Will this be a package tour, you think, or can't you really say yet?
There's stuff in the works, but I think the first time in the U.S. will not be a package tour. We'll be on our own.
Oh, great. Cool. Looking forward to it. Best of luck to you, and please keep in touch.
Take care, buddy.
Okay, bye-bye.
silence of the night. And beneath the afterglow, this illusion you invite, fall in temptation.
There, some, not all, of the song Gods of the Sun. The whole thing is 11 minutes 12 seconds. Go buy the full version of that song on iTunes. So good. Buy the whole CD. I bought the CD. It's great. It sounds so good. I always think stuff sounds a little better on CD than it does on Spotify or iTunes. The sound is a little bit fuller. If you have a car and you still have a CD player in it, I suggest you go back and pull out all your old CDs, buy new CDs. Let's not let this format die, because it is a good format and it sounds better than what we're used to listening to with the streaming shit. And I can't believe, I mean, my nephew listens to stuff on YouTube, and half the time I go on there, it sounds like such crap. I don't know, but that's just me. I'm an old man, so what do you expect? But anyways, the Psychotic Symphony album by Sons of Apollo is great stuff. Billy Sheehan, another guy who I've had some history with, is in that band. If you haven't seen me, I did me and Billy, did a That Metal Gear for VH1.com. It's great. It's on YouTube. Go search That Metal Gear, Billy Sheehan, Mark Striegel. It'll probably come up, and we do a rig rundown. And he's from the Buffalo suburbs, I believe, just like my family is. That's where we originated. I moved from there when I was like 5 years old. But yeah, I used to go back there every summer to visit my grandparents, who are no longer with us. But yeah, I have a lot of fond memories of the Buffalo area. It's where I started school, went to kindergarten up until like halfway through kindergarten. I moved to Jersey. From there, I moved to Wisconsin. From there, I moved to Illinois, moved a couple times within the state of Illinois. Then I went to move to New Jersey. Then I moved to Massachusetts. Then I moved back. I've lived all over the state of New Jersey. Spent in Manhattan at least, like 12 years living in New York City. Yeah, I've gotten around, guys. But anyways, Buffalo, the place where Billy Sheehan is from, always has a soft spot in my heart. That band is incredible, man. Sons of Apollo. I'm so glad they're going to make a go of this. It's so disappointing when these supergroups get together and then just kind of fade after their album has been released, you know. So cannot wait to see these guys in concert. I hope they stick with it. Cool. I think that'll do it. Big thanks to Derek Sherinian for joining us on the podcast. We will now close with some classic Dream Theater. Lyrics by Mike Portnoy on this. This would be, I think, a real good option for these guys to play in concert. When I say these guys, I mean Sons of Apollo, obviously. I'd love to hear Derek and Mike and Bumblefoot and Billy Sheehan bust this one out with Jeff singing, Jeff Scott Soto. This would be fun. Anyways, this is one that I know Jerry from Long Island loves. It's called The Mirror by Dream Theater. We'll talk to you next time, guys.